As its name would imply, bestgore.com was no stranger to videos of the macabre and gruesome. But in May 2012, a video would be posted that would change the site and the internet forever. The video, titled One Lunatic, One Ice Pick, depicts the rape and dismemberment of a man named June Lynn. The video was shortly thereafter linked to a crime scene in which the torso of Mr. Lynn was found rotting in a suitcase in an alleyway. The thing is, though, is that this murder was foretold by denizens of the internet who had actually been tracking the perpetrator down over the course of a year. Why? Because he had murdered cats and posted the videos on Facebook. The publishing of this video and subsequent attached murder case would kick off one of the largest international manhunts in the modern day era. And that's what we're going to talk about on Disquietude. We're going to talk about a man named Luca Bagnotta. This case was This case was famously featured on a Netflix documentary that was cleverly titled Don't Fuck with Cats, in which it detailed the efforts by people on the internet, particularly a group on Facebook, to track down Luca Bagnotta because he had posted videos of himself torturing and murdering defenseless kittens. Great documentary. Actually, it's a great documentary. You should definitely give it a watch. It's well worth your time. But there was a lot of things that the documentary left out, mainly because the focus of the documentary was more so on the denizens of the internet who were trying to track down Luca rather than Luca and the case and the murder himself. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight on Disquietude. And I love this kind of stuff is because this is internet lore. Yeah. I remember when that video came out.
Oh, really?
No, I was not one of these people. By that time, I wasn't browsing the gore sites like I was like in 1999.
Yeah.
But I remember hearing about, hey, someone actually posted a video of an actual murder on bestgore.com. And of course, I go check it out. Now, I didn't know any of the subtext, you know, behind this.
So you saw the actual video? You saw it?
Yes.
I watched it too.
Yes.
And I am very upset with myself that I did.
I mean, and plus, Best Gore was probably the gore site that was left over from the great gore site wars of the of the early 2000s. You had Rotten.com, you had Augurus, you had Style Project, and then you had Best Gore, which was a Canadian site. According to the owner of the site, this site had an estimated 1.2 billion views per month. Views per month. So I don't know how many views that particular video got. It was...
That's a lot.
Was a lot. Now, the police asked the owner of the site to take it down. He took the video down. He claims that he had taken it down of his own volition without the assistance of the police. He was actually later charged with a crime and had a settlement with the Canadian government, and the site is now defunct. He still owns the domain name bestgore.com, which he will sell you for a cool $1 million. So, but let's rewind.
Oh boy.
About a year and a half before then.
We're going to talk about the kittens.
You have to start.
Where's your cat?
He's I'll tell you, this guy.
When I started to watch the documentary, and I have cats that like to like cuddle up to me, I had to like, they came close to me and I was like, yes, you're safe, you're fine. I was petting them the whole time, like, at least you're okay.
Yeah, he couldn't have fucked with my cat. My cat is very mean. Let's start there. What better point to start than with the cat videos? I guess not his first mistake, air quotes. He posted this video on Facebook, if I...
No, he's not the only... He is not the only person to do something like that. There's been a lot of people who will post murders and shit to Facebook.
So, suicide. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Crush videos.
Oh, God. No. I only know about that from Rotten.
So, Crush videos were... I don't know how popular they were, but essentially people killing kittens and small animals by stepping on them or crushing them, usually with high heels or boots. So people had posted similar videos, but this particular video, the video I guess that started it all, was particularly evil to me. I mean, it's evil to torture and kill small animals, which, by the way, Serial Killer Handbook 101, pretty much every major serial killer you've ever heard of tortured and killed small animals. Right. That's how they worked on their chops, so to speak. But this particular video was bad because of the way he killed the cats. I think that the way he killed the cats was...
There's no nice way to do it, but this was particularly...
This was particularly evil.
I mean, it was one of those like space saving bags that you're supposed to use for your fucking vacuum, sweaters and shit, you know? Yes. And then he put the kittens in there. And the thing that makes him particularly, I mean, there's a lot of things that are fucking wrong with him, but he is like so sweet to these kittens.
Right. That's what I was going to say.
Before
that was weird.
He puts them in there, like, you know, he's petting them and shit. And I'm like, why even?
Because
give them-
I think that speaks to, We'll delve a little bit into his personality, his psyche, but that speaks to his psyche. He's very manipulative.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we have cats, me and Allie. Would your cat just let you put it in a plastic bag? Just like, no, my cat loves me, and it would be like, what the hell are you doing, bro? But obviously he had, especially kittens are very impressionable. They think everyone is their mommy.
Yeah, everyone's your friend.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, he had... Gain the trust of these cats.
Oh, it was so
where
sad.
Did he get these?
Doesn't matter. Well, they get into it on like later on in the documentary, where he would go on Craigslist. He would go like trolling Craigslist.
Oh, that is right.
Saying that he needed a kitten or a puppy, saying that his family had owned a pet shop and I just really want company or some, you know, like he would make a whole fucking story too, which was crazy.
Yeah, I remember.
But yeah, I actually, we got a dog off of, like next door or whatever. And then the lady, she was giving the dog away for free, for various reasons I'm not going to go into, but she was saying that she wanted to meet me and like have a whole interaction with me to feel safe about giving the puppy away because people had reached out to her on next door saying, don't give your dog away for free. Try to at least charge a $25 adoption fee because there are people that troll these sites for free animals to kill.
Oh, yeah. She had to make sure you weren't a Luca.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't mad about it, but I was like, damn, that's really a fucking, that's really a thing.
That's horrible.
So this cat video, the first one, sparked an outrage of people on the internet. Which is kind of odd. We'll talk about this a little bit later. We talked about this last week. Not that, I mean, you could watch a video of somebody getting murdered.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be like, that's messed up.
Yeah. I mean, and it's like, oh, that's terrible. But you kill a cat, especially the way he did it, oh, hell no.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's
and they even said that in the documentary. Right. They're like, look, don't fuck with cats.
Yeah.
You know, cats are... worship, you know, they were worshipped by the Egyptians and now by the internet.
They were the first memes. Remember?
Yeah, they were.
LOL cats.
I can hash cheeseburger.
Yeah.
There was a whole website with nothing but cat cheeseburger memes.
And the very first memes were cats.
So, oh yeah, so you don't fuck with him. Now, he had some other, and I don't want to get too much into those videos. He had other videos where he fed a kitten to a snake.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing was he was very, he never showed his face in the videos. Mm-hmm.
You could see his profile, which was distinguishable enough that they couldn't identify him based off that. But when you actually got to see his face, it's like, oh, yeah, it's definitely, mm-hmm. that's the same
yeah,
person.
Yeah, exactly. So for like a year, these people on the internet, particularly it was a mm-hmm. Facebook group in particular that said, okay, we're going to find this guy. And they used evidence based mm-hmm. on the videos to, without going into too much detail, they were literally able to find the exact apartment he mm-hmm. lived in.
Yeah. But let me just say, when I was watching this as a investigator myself, I was like, I was clapping for these people. I said they were doing an awesome job. Now, I was like, I want to be a part of this.
One of the things that the documentary tries to, one of the themes that the documentary tries to get across is the police response. Because these people had gone to the police
mm-hmm. yeah.
with all of this, to be fair, circumstantial evidence.
Right.
But the police try to make it seem like their investigation was independent of the internet's yeah. investigation, and their investigation is what led to capturing Luca Magnotta. He was eventually captured because he was so narcissistic, he couldn't help but...
So he was one of those, and he's not the only one that has been like this. There's a Russian killer, and I can't remember his name, but he... There's a type of serial killer that idolizes other serial killers. And all he wanted to do was to murder and be famous for it. That is yeah. literally, like, he was on this pathway.
If Luca knew we were doing a podcast about him, he would...
Oh, he's going to listen to this in prison.
I hope he does. And I want to tell him your Wikipedia page, which I know I can see you edited. You fucking suck.
Yeah.
You're terrible.
I didn't read
it.
What did it...
It is... Just give it a quick
Well, first
glance.
Of all, well, I will say this about Wikipedia. It used to say Luca Magnotta, but it no longer does that. It says the murder of June Lynn.
He's got his own page.
Oh, he does?
He does. I have it up.
I was able to find his Murderpedia page, but I couldn't find his Wikipedia page.
Oh, no, he's on there, and it is... I mean, just Luca Magnotta, Canadian murderer and pornographic actor. Bitch, nobody remembers you from porno.
What?
Put your butthole away and nobody cares.
Yeah, now he was, this guy used to go on message board forums. Now, for our younger listeners who don't remember what the internet was like once upon a time, before social media, people used to go to websites and they would go to message boards, and that's how they would communicate. Think Facebook, but just message boards with very specific topics. But anyway, he used to go to message boards and create rumors about himself.
The worst Photoshop I've seen in
yeah,
my life.
Like like he was some celebrity.
Yeah.
The biggest rumor that he started was that he was in a relationship with Carla Homolka.
Oh, yeah.
A very infamous person in Canada. She was a convicted murderer. Her and her husband, Paul Bernardo. The husband was convicted of actually murdering three girls that they had captured. One of them being Carla Homolka's sister.
Mm-hmm.
And she claimed that she was forced to participate, but there was actually video evidence.
That she was orchestrating.
She was... fully behind it, but of course, because of the deal that she struck, she actually did not have to serve any prison time.
She didn't.
Well,
I didn't
I'm
know
sorry.
That.
I'm sorry. I think I'm wrong there. She did. She's out of prison though.
Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ.
She was released in 2005, actually. So she did do prison time, and she was released. And shortly thereafter, some random dude on the internet claims that he had an affair with her, and apparently it was like kind of notable news because Carla Homolka had just been released from prison a few years prior. So she was still a hot button topic. You know, there were a lot of people that felt like she shouldn't have been released.
Well, no, I'm mostly a prison abolitionist, especially for listeners that are overseas. I mean, the U.S. prison system is a fucking joke. There's way too many people in it. But for people like her, nah.
I mean, she's lucky they didn't put a needle in her arm for the stuff that she did. So, you know, so he makes up this fake rumor, and apparently some people thought it was true. He was even interviewed by tabloids over it. And it's like...
That's what did it right there. He got any amount of attention for his little bullshit. Oh, absolutely. And he's like, oh, okay.
Now, he had been in some legal trouble previous. He was convicted of fraud against Sears Canada after impersonating a woman to apply for a credit card and purchasing $10,000 worth of goods. he got probation for that. So, you know, petty stuff here and there.
Scamming.
Yeah, just, you know, but that just goes to show how manipulative he was and how narcissistic and overly confident he was about his ability to manipulate people and get away with crime. So, and another thing about him, he was able to jet set around the globe fairly easily.
Yeah, so there were images that he posted to his little fake pages where he
fake IG page.
Yeah, and he had like sock accounts that would boost his page, like claiming to be, you know, whatever one. Oh my God, Luca. Like, okay. But he would do these terrible Photoshop jobs.
God, they were so bad.
Oh yeah, because he wasn't always in the place where he said he was, right?
But there was, you know, there was the time that he like he was actually in Russia or something.
Yes. Actually, to be fair, the Facebook group had tracked in his apartment down to, I don't know if it was in Toronto. He's from Toronto.
It was like right outside Toronto.
Right. And so the police decide, okay, well, we'll send someone to just take a look. So you guys will get off our back. And they confirmed that he did live there, but he had just left to go to Russia.
Yeah.
So they had just missed him by this much, but it never explains how he's able to go back and forth. From Russia.
You're like, how did he have that income?
Well,
scamming.
He was a prostitute as well.
Oh yeah, that's right. Okay,
he's a Maldo.
One of his Russian names was Vladimir Romanov. Okay, so how copy and paste Russian can you get? Like Vladimir Romanov. Not even a real Russian name.
No. He might as well have just thrown in Rasputin too. Right. Like, yeah. Just tack it on.
Boris.
Boris.
I mean, Vladimir Klitschko. It's like, isn't that a professional boxer? But yeah, he was able to jet set and really evade his pursuers for some time. And the longer he went on doing that, I think he gained more confidence. And this Facebook group knew. They knew that eventually he was going to actually kill someone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he posted a video. He was well aware, and they go into this in the documentary. He was well aware of this group, had infiltrated it a few times, and then had managed to track at least one of the members down in terms of where she was working. Mm-hmm. So he was toying with them to a certain extent. Like he knew that they knew about his posts and he was fucking with them. He was trying to get in their heads. So him leaving for Russia could have been a coincidence, or it could have been like, I know you're about to send people for me. Let me dip out for a second.
Yeah. I'm willing to bet that it was, you know, he just didn't want to stay in one place at one time.
Yeah.
And risk getting caught. Now, although at the time, the only thing he had done, the only thing, was the cat videos. He hadn't murdered anyone at this time. And I think part of the reason why the police response was so lukewarm was, what could you really do internationally about someone who possibly, first of all, it would have been very difficult to prove in court that he did it. Now, we know he did it. I think everyone who, especially if you watch that documentary, you know it was him.
Yeah.
But it's not what you know, it's what you can prove. And I think a court of law might have had a tough time proving you know, he could have said, no, that's not me in the video. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thanks for coming to court, Mr. Luca. You know, so I think that's why the police were like, kind of like, okay, yeah, whatever. This guy's killing cats on the internet. It just wasn't that big of a deal to them. But I think his internet pursuers were trying to get across the point that
it's going to be a person next.
Exactly.
And he communicated mm-hmm. that to them. He told yes. them, like, I am going to kill a human being next.
Yes. In fact, when I guess the officer they had been working with in Toronto was on vacation or something and forgot to pass the evidence on to the police department after the discovery of the murder. When the police found the torso in a suitcase, which, by the way, had been there for like 3 days, sitting outside mm-hmm. in a suitcase. People complained about the smell. Mm-hmm. Residents complained about there is like this smell coming from the alleyway.
Wasn't it? It was like in a heap of garbage, though, right? Like there was a lot of garbage
yes.
out there.
And after it was a custodian or a maintenance guy discovered it. He called the police, and the police had no idea first of all, the police did not know about the video, but Facebook and the internet already knew about
yeah,
the video.
It was
they
already
had already connected the dots.
Yeah. Right?
The police was like, I don't know what's going on, because the guy that had the information from the Facebook group forgot to forward it to the police because he's in Cancun. Police don't solve crimes. I will say this a million times on our podcast. They do not solve crimes, okay? So, now once the dots were, first of all, I want to talk about the body in the suitcase. Can you imagine? I feel so bad for that maintenance guy because he says on the documentary that he opened the suitcase. Now I'm going to tell you this right now. If somebody say, hey, it's a bad smell in the alleyway, and I see a suitcase, which was covered with blood and flies. He said
No, I'm not opening that. No.
I'm calling the cops.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Calling the cops.
But he's the maintenance guy, so he feels like that's his job.
What? He gets paid, $30,000 yeah. a year to find a fucking dead body?
There's not
thank
enough
you.
Bleach I could pour in my eyes. I am a gore hound. I've seen, you know, you guys know how much we love horror, but to see that live in the red helmet.
Well, okay, so we'll skip ahead to this part because my stupid ass watches this documentary and I was like, can I still find that video online?
Up there, yeah.
So I dug around.
Oh, you found it.
I found it.
Did you find the full version?
11 minutes.
Okay, the full video.
Yeah. And I thought, my stupid ass, I was like, oh, well, you know, they'll probably like, I don't know, it's probably like cut or something. I just was not thinking it through at all. And so I hit play. And maybe it wasn't the full version because there was the beginning where the guy was very clearly alive.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he had like a, you know, bandana over his head. And, you know, the documentary goes into like, Luca had posted a Craigslist ad. And this guy,
I love Craigslist.
This guy probably thought like maybe I'm making like a little home video with this hookup, and he had, you know, something over his face, so he felt like maybe it would be fine if it was posted to the internet, whatever. Like you could tell it was a very consensual. He wasn't fighting back. He was chill. Also,
he had been drugged.
Mm-hmm. But he maybe didn't realize he was drugged. Right. Wasn't mm-hmm. trying to fight with him. It looked very much like jump cut, and this is maybe where it had been edited. He was very dead. Like literally, mm-hmm. like a second went by. I could tell that he was not moving. He was not breathing. And he had holes in his stomach where Luca had already stabbed him. And then it was like, you know, he was going crazy on his body. And then he does like this close up of his face. And you could see like he had cut his throat. And part of me was like, what the fuck am I watching? But also part of me was kind of relieved that I didn't watch him actually die. Like he was already dead.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like and then from there, listeners, y'all know if you've been with us for a long time, I don't have the stomach for this kind of shit. It's not the medical gore that I don't have the stomach for. It's like the malice against another person that I don't. So I kind of skipped.
It was particularly brutal.
It was bad.
I mean, what murder isn't brutal, but
this was like he was playing with this guy's body.
Well, and like we were talking about earlier in the security footage in the apartment, he puts the guy's shirt on and goes downstairs.
He actually leaves two or three times.
Yeah. This was funny to him. This was like, this is humorous. Apparently, and like I said, I skipped through a lot of it. He plays with the guy's head in the tub at one point. Mm-hmm. I did not see that part because I was jumping.
Real quick, let me read. I'm going to read a description. This is from Murderpedia.
Okay, yeah.
The 11-minute video titled One Lunatic Ice Pick was uploaded to bestgore.com depicting a naked male tied to a bed frame being repeatedly stabbed with an ice pick and a kitchen knife, then dismembered, followed by acts of necrophilia. Mm-hmm. The perpetrator uses a knife and fork to cut off some of the flesh and gets a dog to chew on the body. During the video, the 1987 New Order song True Faith plays in the background.
Which that song's ruined forever, by the way. Forever, yep.
And a poster for the 1942 film Casablanca is visible on the wall. Canadian authorities contained a more extensive version of the video and said cannibalism may have been performed.
Mm.
So...
Also, and this is a big one.
Yeah.
Materials promoting the video appeared online 10 days before the murder took place. He had been advertising that he was going to do this.
What?
One of the more disturbing, maybe comical parts of the murder was what he did with the body parts.
He mailed them out.
He mailed them to the heads of various Canadian political parties and to a school, which I thought...
I didn't understand that
I didn't get that. I don't think he ever gave a reason for that. I think he was just trying to garner as much attention
as
possible. And, I mean, you send something to a school...
Yeah, well, that's, you know...
You're gonna you're gonna get some attention.
Speaking of his... you know, need for attention. I also saw where he seemed to want to be on, like, he kept auditioning to be on, like, these different reality TV shows.
Of course he did.
And there was one where it was a reality TV show about people getting plastic surgery. And he said he had had his nose done. And he also...
Oh, he chose that nose? I'm sorry.
Should get a refund.
He wanted hair implants. He said he had already had two surgeries for hair implants done before. He also wanted implants put in his pecs and his arms. Yeah, but I'm like, you want hair implants? I guess he wanted the shaft.
Maybe that's like, why his hair was long, because he was covering like bald spot or something.
Then it looks like he did an audition for another reality TV show where he was talking about his sexuality and being bisexual and being a male escort or whatever. So I'm like,
here's what I find funny about that. So Carla Homolka publicly came out as a lesbian shortly before her release.
Oh, we're dating though.
Yeah. Me, a gay man, I'm dating a lesbian murderer.
But what? He claimed,
is this 1975? Yeah.
But he claimed to be bisexual. But in his interview, he said he liked, and of course, this all could have been, you know, just him saying this, but he said he liked men and women, but most of the time he dated men.
I'm going to call my boy Galen. Galen, if you're listening, call y'all and be like, I need your gaydar skills.
But have you guys seen a picture of him recently?
Yes.
No, there's totally article. Different.
Now, he got married to someone in
Yes.
prison. But yeah, he looks
Ellie's face
looks completely different now.
Oh, he was so annoying though. Like in his videos, he'd be like, I've been told, you know, how, I don't remember how you described it. Basically, he just felt like he was just so overly attractive. He was so, and I'm like, okay, he's not the ugliest guy I've seen,
right, listeners, he was like,
really skinny.
He looks like a twink you would run into at a gay bar, you know, a twink.
Is that what you said? Oh, yeah, no.
Tiff's so innocent.
I know. A twinkie?
I mean, if you want to go there.
But no, he's just very thin and, you know, you can tell that's the center of his personality. Yeah. It's like he's vaguely attractive. Mostly his attractiveness is that he's thin, and you can tell he's very obsessed with that. Like, and if you watch the security video of him taking the body parts out to the trash, mm-hmm. he stops to look at himself
right in the mirror, like in the mirror. His hair.
Oh, look at me.
I'm like, dude.
Yeah, he's one of those.
Yeah, one of the things he auditioned for was to be an underwear model, and that's where he said, you know, I've been told that I'm, you know, very overly attractive. Like, he didn't get picked.
He really looks like a manufactured, you know, like a manufactured Jersey Shore clone.
he almost gives you Uncanny Valley.
Yeah,
like he's not a guy that you would see at a bar and be like, oh, that guy's really hot. You would just be like, I mean, objectively, he's symmetrical, but what's wrong with
that nose?
What's this?
You yeah. said he picked that nose?
So this is an interesting thing. We talked about this a little before we went on air. Now, his mother was a witness at his wedding in prison.
Really?
She wrote a book.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, called...
I am Luca's mother.
Called My Son, the Killer. The wow. Untold Story of Luca Magnotta and One Lunatic, One Ice Pick. Now, if you watch the documentary, you will see the biggest case of cognitive dissonance ever. Like, dictionary picture. This woman would not believe that her son committed this crime, even though he admitted to her that he did it.
It's his apartment, ma'am. Have you never been in his apartment?
But she holds fast to this idea, which I felt like the documentary, sometimes documentaries can get a little bit irresponsible. And I understand why they did this way, but there is a... Luca had maintained that he was under the control mm-hmm. of another person named
Manny.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up. I didn't get to that one.
Okay,
oh,
so, you didn't see that? Yes. So her mother, his mother maintained. And this is how I'll at least give this guy this much credit. I hate giving serial killer. He wasn't a serial killer yet because he got caught. But some of them are really clever, okay? And what he did was he had been telling people about Manny for years mm-hmm. and years. He went and told a lawyer mm-hmm. about Manny. I'm talking like 10 years before he decided to kill this guy.
This was like setting everything up
exactly.
for later. Can you imagine if somebody like this could craft a narrative and put it in a fucking book instead of murdering somebody?
Oh yeah. Well,
can you world build in a book, bitch?
Well, his lawyer actually believed the Manny narrative.
Oh, God.
And so did his mother until the basic instinct evidence came out. So I don't know if you got this far in the documentary, and this is the best part of the documentary to me, but the people on the internet find out that he's a huge, huge fan of the movie Basic Instinct.
Which is mm-hmm. why he spray painted the screwdriver.
Why? To look like an ice mm-hmm. pick. Yep. The murder is supposed to be a reenactment of the scene from Basic Instinct in which Sharon Stone's character, what was her name, by the way? Yeah, her name was Catherine Tramell. And Tramell was one of his, one of Luca's
aliases. Mm-hmm.
What a dork.
Yeah, it's like, dude.
Kirk Tramell was one of his aliases. So when people started putting two to two together, and it's like, holy crap, this guy is just trying to act out Basic Instinct. Also, there was a character in the movie named Manny, one of the antagonists. So once that evidence came out, his lawyer was like, oh crap. And he just couldn't believe he had been taken by this guy in his story. However,
did he Kaiser Soze himself?
He did. kind of clever. Now, his mom, though, is still convinced. She thinks the Manny thing is real. And I'd be real interested to read her book. If I could have got a copy before we did this episode, I couldn't find it anywhere, though. Wonder why. I'd be interested to hear what she has to say. Someone did help her write it. But on the documentary, I mean, she is just you know, Manny forced him to do this and he didn't mean to kill that poor man. Oh, and he didn't kill the cats.
There is a thread between women who create this kind of monster through their own. And I'll say this is pure speculation on my part. I don't know anything about this woman. I don't know how she raised Luca Magnotta. But if you've ever been around abusive people and the excuses that a mother will make for an abuser, like, they're always like this. It's always this forgiveness for the monster they created, because they themselves usually are low-key kind of that kind of monster.
Yeah. That's a good point for us to take a break. We're going to take a real quick commercial break here and listen to a word from our sponsor, Anchor.fm. And we're back. Disquietude. We're talking about the murder of June Lynn. His murderer, Luca Rocco Magnotta. One of his many, many names. Let's Rocco. Go through. Rock, why? Rocco. Let's go through his aliases. Okay, so Vladimir Romanov. His real name is Eric Clinton Kirk Newman. His other names are Vladimir Romanov, Mattia Del Santo, Jimmy, Justin, Angel, Kirk Trammell, which we've already determined is based on a character from his favorite movie, Basic Instinct. This guy was, you know, I wonder though if the internet, if he would have existed prior to the age of the internet. And that's one of the reasons why we're doing this episode. Mm. Would he have been like this? I mean, I think he would have still been a manipulative, petty criminal. But would have had gone to this? Because the thing is if he couldn't have videotaped the murder, I'm not sure if he would have done it.
He would, no, okay, here's my thought. And I was actually thinking about this earlier today when I remembered that he had an American Psycho poster in his closet. And I was thinking about the movie Fight Club. And you know how in the 90s, everyone had seen that movie.
Everyone.
Now, did they interpret the movie correctly? That's the question. Because honestly, I myself, even, you know, in the past like 10 years, came to a different realization. Because when you see it when you're young, you think it's about this. But then as you get older, you're like, wait, actually. So it.
And old Chuck, he wouldn't tell anyone what the movie was about. He was like, y'all gotta figure it out yourself.
He kept it super vague on purpose. And you only know things like, so I came to the realization Chuck Palahniuk is actually, I don't know if he's gay or bi.
He's openly gay. Well, yeah, he came out as openly gay, but bisexual.
Right. My point is, if you go back to watch the movie or read the book, you understand, actually, this is very much a critique of toxic masculinity.
Yep.
And you can even interpret the scene where Tyler beats the shit out of the pretty boy as like, oh, maybe he's actually, this is like internalized homophobia because he's attracted to this man. But so he beats the shit out of him. And I'm just saying that's a different interpretation of that scene. Right. And I mean, it's very overtly anti-capitalist, but there are people like American Psycho is not necessarily, you know, at first glance, what it's supposed to be. My point in all this is there's a type of fanboy that loves American Psycho, and loves Fight Club, but they don't actually understand either of them.
No, you're absolutely right. These are the same people that romanticize Joker, Harley Quinn's relationship.
But this is,
these are the people that think Heisenberg was right.
Yes! Who call Skylar a bitch, still to this day.
I will say this, I could sympathize with Heisenberg, but when he actually says, spoiler alert, he says near the end of the show when he's talking to Skylar, I did it for me. When he says that, then any goodwill you had towards him should be gone.
Absolutely.
Because then he's admitting, I became a drug lord because I liked
doing it. And it makes me wonder if Vince Gilligan, because at that point, there had been so much Skylar is a bitch talk on the internet that he purposely put that in there.
I can see him doing that, yeah.
Because he's like, no, dude, I've been telling you for fucking 4 seasons. This guy's an asshole.
Yeah.
You know, and so like.
He poisoned a little kid. Come on, man.
I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
So I could see Luca being.
He's that guy.
He's that guy.
And I think that it's debatable whether or not he would have sought out the fame that way, but would he have definitely hurt people?
Maybe so, because especially let's just go back to the 80s, serial killers was kind of big business.
Yeah.
The FBI had created, you know, this new task force, psychological killer killer psychological profiling, and everyone knew what a serial killer was. I think that Luca might have felt like he could cash in on some of that that wave, so to speak. But I do think that in the documentary Don't Fuck With Cats talks about this. Did the internet push him to that point? Because we were giving him the attention that he craved. If no one had cared, oh, look at this loser killing cats. Next.
So when that lady said that, I sincerely believe, and I believe this about a good majority of people that are just wired this way, I think that they're just the people that have worked up the courage to execute whatever weird, sick fantasies they have. And I think he would have done it with or without a camera. I think if this is the path you're on, this is what gets you off.
Right.
Like, without the attention, I think all that does is maybe speed up that timeline a little bit. I don't think that those people should take any responsibility in the death. They tried to prevent this man's death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did everything that they possibly could have to. He was just going to do what he was going to do because he's just that person.
He would have found a way to make sure people knew about it.
Right.
Because it was clear that he was... Because I think when they caught him, he was looking at articles about himself.
So,
that's why
he got caught.
He
stopped at an internet cafe.
Right, like, dummy.
To look at, he's like, I got to find out what's going on with me.
I mean, if that doesn't say narcissist.
Yes.
Right, exactly.
I actually think he would have accelerated into killing humans faster in the pre-internet age. Because...
That got you fame faster.
Exactly. We look at the Hillside Strangler.
Yeah.
You know, Kenneth Bianchi. You know, they used to, the reason that they call the Hillside Strangler is because they leave their victims' corpses on hillsides to be found.
Yeah.
They didn't necessarily want to be caught, but they wanted their crimes to be known. Same with the BTK killer, same with the Zodiac killer who was never caught. The same reason why the Golden State killer.
I think he was like working through his whatever the fuck was wrong with him or is wrong with him because he's still alive. He didn't want to be caught because he stopped. You know, that's the thing about him.
Well, you know, we see this with a lot of killers. They actually don't. I'm not going to say they don't want to be caught. They don't want to do what they're doing. In the Richard Ramirez Night Stalker documentary on Netflix. This is a tough part to watch, but, and this is something that I did not know about Richard Ramirez, was that he was a pedophile. He wouldn't kill children, but he would molest them and have sex with them. And one of the things that he used to do is he used to break into people's house, used to steal their children. He would take them somewhere. He'd rape them and then take them back home and say, don't say anything. Or he'd drop them off at a police station. One survivor, when she was 6, I believe she said, she recounts the story of how he broke into her house and kidnapped her. And she remembers him saying that he didn't want to do this anymore. He's like, I don't want to do this anymore, but I have to. And he ends up, you know, letting her go. He drops her off at a store and says, go inside, call 911 and tell them what happened. And she had actually one of the people that sends him to jail. She actually went to a lineup and was able to identify him at 6 years old, identified him in the lineup and sent him to jail. But I said that to say that he's not the only killer in which people, in which they, you know, they say, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. Please catch me. Please catch me. Luca was not that kind of guy, though. I don't think that it was a compulsion to kill that he could not control. It may eventually have been. He never got there, but I think it was compulsion to be famous.
Yeah.
Led him to killing.
We just before the break we were talking. Like he, I think thought it was funny. Like more than.
Oh yeah.
Like maybe there was. I mean, there's definitely a sexual element to it. I mean, I saw with my own eyes that there was. But for him, it was like like I said, there's a type of killer that I think is, you know, post 70s like media blow up of serial killers. They love that image. They love that fame. That's what they want for themselves. It's like almost like a career path for them. Like, I think that's what he wanted. Truly.
No, I absolutely. That's what he wanted. And I really think I understand why the documentary goes down that path. Like, you know, did you guys push him to do this? But I actually think that without the internet, the internet decelerated his,
well, because he could have, if it worked out the way that he wanted it, he could have gained fame from killing kittens and
right.
people.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but nobody did.
That wasn't enough, though. It wasn't enough fame for him.
It wasn't. It's still unclear. So I guess Luca in prison does not talk about the crime. He just does not. He'll talk about anything else, but he just doesn't talk about the crime. Probably for legal reasons. For instance, you know, if he ever got out, he could make money off of selling the story. He cannot because he's in prison. I'm not sure what Canadians.
The
Son of Sam laws, which are iffy. They're not. It's not a federal thing. It's by state whether or not criminals can profit off of the crimes they committed. But
because Gacy was able to sell his paintings.
Yes, but yeah. I don't think they were directly related to the crimes. I guess, you know, if you were in prison, you're like, okay, here's how I killed all these people. They're going to be like, oh, no, we're not gonna pop. Although it would make a ton of money. But I think that's the point. We don't want criminals the ability to do that. But whatever the case, he does not talk about the murder. And so we never really delve into why he did it. We can really only speculate. Other killers like Ramirez, although Ramirez said that Satan told him to do it. And so did the Son of Sam. And, you know, the killers give a lot of different reasons about why they kill, but they at least give you those reasons. Luca has not said, well, I killed June Lynn for the notoriety or because I had to kill or because kittens weren't enough or whatever. We can only speculate.
I mean, we can speculate that he's an edgelord with a bad nose job and bad hair.
Oh, he was definitely, definitely an edgelord. First of all, bestgore.com. Come on, bro. You didn't even post those in one of the heavy hitters. Rotten, Ogrish. I mean.
Oh, well, this was what?
2012.
Rotten was pretty dead by then.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of the, like I stated at the beginning, so most of the sites were kind of, like the whole. That whole aspect of the internet had kind of gone away, mainly because you could literally open Facebook if you wanted to see somebody get murdered.
Yeah.
So the idea of a site that depicted videos of people dying or photos, they just weren't as popular as they were at the turn of the century. So I think Best Gore was like the only one left. So. Although I'm surprised I didn't go on Reddit or 4chan.
Yeah, I'm really surprised there was no 4chan.
Props to him for not going that route. you know, everyone goes to 4chan. Luca, this is just a funny aside. He actually filed cyber stalking charges against himself.
Shut the fuck up. What?
Because he had denied the claim. So he made these fake claims that he was in a bisexual lesbian relationship with Carla Homolka.
With the devil and Carla.
Right. And
that's a very 1998 Jerry Springer episode.
Bisexual
lesbian relationship.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, that's what it was, right? And then he claimed that people were stalking or harassing him because of that claim. Because, as we stated before, Carla Homolka is very infamous.
He filed cyber stalking charges against his sock account?
Yes.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, please stated that Magnotta had set up 70 Facebook pages and 20 entire websites under different names to cyber stalk himself.
This man had time.
Time.
So,
and email addresses.
Your Honor, I like a restraining order against myself.
So did Carla, she never came out and was like, no.
Carla Homolka has not said much publicly since her release because it would be very stupid to do so.
I mean, yeah. Let's not draw attention to the fact that you're free.
Yeah, right, yeah. True. And especially, she's probably like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
You know, no one knew who this guy was. And this is just some shit he made up so it could be in the tabloids. In fact, the headline probably didn't even mention his name. It probably was like, Carla Homolka is in a lesbian relationship with a gay prostitute. That's probably what the headlines said. And that might, and he probably got mad at that. Like, holy shit, they didn't even mention me.
They didn't say my name.
Yeah.
I'm the top rated male right, yeah. prostitute.
So, yeah, this guy, just wild. I mean, like, do serial killers get together and talk shit about this guy? Like, man, I mean,
he's making the rest of us look.
Yeah, good. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But you know,
he's giving serial killers a bad name.
In the hypothetical serial killer jail, there would be like, you know, there would be your Rodriguez and like big heavy hitters, like the Zodiac killer, like actual, like, you know, dudes that did shit. And then there would be like the BTK would be like, ew, don't go near him. And then and then way down the totem pole would be this motherfucker. Yeah.
It's like, so how many did you kill? You know, kill a guy and three cats. Like, what?
he would be the you can't sit with us.
Right. I was curious to say that, yeah.
So okay, so let's get to this point before we close this episode, this wild episode out that I hope Luca listens to. Oh, what a piece of shit. So, do you think that people were more enraged about the cat videos?
Yes.
Or the murder video? Also, when the video was published, people were contacting the authorities immediately. People in the United States were contacting Canadian authorities like, have y'all seen this video? And I guess the police just kind of ignored them, like, okay, whatever. Like, because, you know, there had been days between the publishing of the video and when the body was found. So people had been, you know, attempting to contact police. They contacted the FBI. An attorney in Montana attempted to report the video to Canadian police, his local sheriff, and the United States FBI. And the report was dismissed by officials. According to Wikipedia, best gore viewers also attempted to report the video.
Jesus.
So there was some concern about the video, but as someone who has scoured the internet for the past 25 years looking at the most fucked up things you can look at, people don't get outraged at murder videos. They don't.
Well, I feel like with animals, especially cats, I feel like there's like a certain innocence with animals, and I feel like,
well, it's not just people... it wasn't just a cat, right? It's just kittens.
Well, yeah. So I feel like when people see stuff like that, it's like, oh, it was just a kitten, you know, it was like an innocent little kitten. Not that people aren't innocent, but, you know, we all know people view people differently. So I definitely feel like people were more outraged about the kitten.
I think people feel like, first of all, small animals are defenseless.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas they feel like a grown man is not defenseless. And I think it softens their sympathy for him because, you know, like when you described the video earlier, the beginning of the video looks like a fairly mostly consensual mm-hmm. encounter between two men. And let's not downplay the homophobic aspect
of
people's reactions to the video. So, yeah, I do think that
people it's kind of similar too with kids versus adults. Like people do not like
I'll tell you this, you'll never ever see a video on the internet of a child being murdered by someone. I don't think they're probably out there, but nothing like this. Nothing like the attention.
Well, that launches, you know, whole like fucking Interpol investigation.
I mean, the only thing, the closest that we've got to that was Daisy's destruction,
right?
And which that was on the internet, but it was on the dark web. Mm-hmm. And if you even like,
it's not going to be on best score.
It's not going to be on best score, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah, you're right. With kids, in fact, there. So, you know, there used to be a subreddit called Watch People Die. And I'll admit, sometimes I'd go on Watch People Die.
Just get bored when
let's see who died today, you know, see how they died. And it didn't have a whole lot of murders on there. It did. It's, you know, a lot of cartel videos. The Mexican drug cartels routinely release videos of them murdering people just to kind of show, hey, don't fuck with this. Or beheading videos from terrorists or, you know, things like that. Those, typically, if you got a murder video, that's the kind of stuff you got. Well, after the, if you guys remember the two girls from Norway that were killed and their murder was videotaped and then released on the internet, it was Watch People Die was one of the places where you could view the internet. So the authorities asked Reddit to take the video down. And they did. And they, you know, they said, because that's legal evidence. So we don't really want legal evidence out on the internet. So they took the video down.
Well, so why the fuck can I still find this video then?
Well, I mean, but see, here's the thing. You could find, now I will say that video of the two girls that were killed is very, very hard to find. I mean, you know, you say once it's on the internet, you can't get rid of it. They got rid of this video. But to be fair, the police moved quickly, unlike in the case of One Lunatic, One Ice Pick. They didn't even think the video was legit until they found the corpse in the alleyway. By that time, four or five days, that's all you need for a video to go viral and be part of the internet forever. But because of the notoriety of the video with the two girls being murdered, Watch People Die came under a lot of media scrutiny. In Reddit, shut it down. At first they made it so where it's I can't remember what they call it, but it's essentially a subreddit that is not public. Like you have to type in the full address to get to that subreddit, and then like warning, like if you go in here, this is what you will see. And then eventually they shut the subreddit down. It's completely gone. So in its place around the internet have popped up other sites and forums that are similar to Watch People Die, that essentially have the same kind of content and Watch People Die. And one thing I notice about those forums is murders just aren't, they just don't do it for people.
I don't quite get it to a certain extent. Like there's like a rageometer, right? Like you see a kitten and a puppy and a child, and you're like, that's fucked up because they can't fight back in any way. But I think just in the context of this video and like knowing what I knew before I watched it, it's like, no, I still had just as much like anger watching it as I would have if it
was. I wonder if denizens of the internet would have gone through such lengths that they went through to fight. I mean, if you ask them, and I think they do in the documentary, they're going to say, yeah, of course. Of course I would have wanted to know, but that's hindsight.
So, and I messaged you guys after I saw this in the documentary is, you know, there's this, you know, hardened detective or whatever, and she's talking about the case and she's perfectly fine talking about his torso in a fucking suitcase. And then she chokes up talking about the puppy. And I'm like, ma'am.
She's like, ma'am, I saw a head in the bathtub.
Yeah. And, you know, this guy's dead. And then, oh, but the poor. And I'm like, okay, I am too am upset about that puppy. That's fucked up. But it's just like, that's a whole person who had his own hopes and dreams.
And, and I think the documentary
had hopes and dreams.
The documentary realized that, and there's a section where they talk about how people forget about the victim in these.
Because it's so sensational.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you know, they talk about the hopes and dreams of June Lynn and how tragic it was that he was murdered. In the worst way by, such a terrible
a hookup.
By a terrible person who was doing it just to get famous. So
that's why I think the documentary was so appropriately named.
Yeah.
I also think people seek that kind of, like, I've never thought I want to go look for a video of someone killing a cat or a defenseless animal. But I have gone on the internet to look for videos of people getting fucked up by other people, people getting killed. Oh, cartel videos? I don't mind if I do. In fact, the first thing I can remember that kind of set me on this path of looking for fucked up shit was when I was a real young kid, somehow in an encyclopedia or something, I found out about the St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
Which was, that was gangland war stuff. But for those who don't know, because now that happened almost 100 years ago.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe. But Al Capone's people, were fighting other gangs in the Chicago area. So they dressed up like cops. They arrested members of another gang, lined them up against the wall, pulled out Tommy guns, just like you see in the gangster movies, and murdered them all. Lined them up against the wall and killed them. And there were pictures, and it was big news. Like, on the front page of the Chicago Tribune was pictures of these people that had been murdered. Now, as a young boy, I'm like, holy crap, that's incredible. This is the greatest thing I've ever seen. I want to see more of this. And I think a lot of people get that adrenaline rush from seeing, we talked about this. Our old listeners remember, like, our second, third video, we talked about, I'm sorry, our second, third episode, we talked about death videos, the Faces of Death movies. And I think that adrenaline rush you get from,
It's little brushes with death, right? It's almost like your own, because you're seeing it from that person's perspective. You're in their shoes and you're like, oh, but that's not me. I'm still alive.
It's not, But a cat, it's hard to get over.
Anything that's defenseless, honestly, for me. Like, if I saw two people fighting, like when we watched the video last week.
When it was a cat and a person. No,
no. But when we watched the grown-ass adults last week fighting in the street, and then one just happens to have a gun, but your stupid ass didn't leave when he said he was going back to the house. Like,
oh, yeah, that video.
Yeah, it's one of those things I don't fully feel bad for those people. Like, I do.
Yeah.
But also, you started the altercation. You could have left. When it's a fight, that's the kind of shit that makes me laugh, is when it's a fight.
Yeah, I laughed at the people who got shot in Pennsylvania. I'm sorry.
And you could have left at any time. You could have said, you know what? My bad. I'm being an asshole. Let me go. Yeah. Like, at that point, if that guy still comes after you said, I'm sorry, let me go.
That's on him.
Yeah, that's on him. But you kept running your mouth.
Especially if he warned you.
Yeah.
Hey, right. Hold on. I'll be back.
Those are the ones where I can watch because I don't feel bad. Like, right. I watch mobster shows and stuff. I don't feel bad for those people because they're ultimately bad people. But it's like when it's, this guy and kittens and puppies. It's like,
Real quick point, to echo a point Tiffany made earlier about serial killers being lucky. So once they had determined, once the Canadian police did their work and they had determined, okay, this is the guy we're looking for, and they contacted Interpol. He actually got on a plane from Montreal to Paris using a passport under his own name.
Oh.
This is post 9/11.
Yeah, post 9/11. Like, hi, I just killed someone and I'm famous and police are looking for me. Let me get on a plane. So when he got in France, Interpol tracked his cell phone signal to a hotel. But by the time the police got there, he wasn't there. Darn. Huh? They found an air sickness bag and porno mags in the hotel room.
And he had a combo.
Yeah. Right. And then He left there and stayed with a man from that he knew from a previous visit a few years before, who didn't even know. He had stayed with him for two nights.
I had heard that. That was in the documentary.
That wasn't the
documentary. Oh, no, the call is coming from inside the house.
Yeah, he didn't even know who the dude was.
I bet that dude afterward was like, oh, yeah. My God.
Said Luca slept on his couch for 2 days.
Uh-uh. Yep.
Wow. So then the police show up at his house, like, is he here? It's like, is who here? By this time, he's gone. He had made it all the way to Germany at this point, made it to Berlin, and he got caught. Because he had to look himself up on the internet. Absolutely crazy. So let's talk about a little bit about the aftermath before we close this out. Just by unfortunate coincidence, this had been the second murder of a Chinese student in Canada within a year. So the Chinese government actually intervened, which you never want. And a lot of people felt like that the murder was racially motivated, which I don't know if it was racially motivated, but I'm not going to discount the possibility that Luca picked the target because he was Asian.
Yeah.
Well, did he advertise it on Craigslist and responded to the ad.
He did.
So. Yeah, but I'm sure he got more than one response.
Yeah. I'd be interested to know what the ad said.
I'm sure the police have that evidence. So I want to say on the documentary they actually did have that was one of the ways that the Facebook group found Luca.
Mm-hmm.
He had a very
Yes.
Yeah, he had a very distinct way of writing,
like a dipshit.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, these people were good. Yeah. I wanted to be a part of their group.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, let's join their group. Find more murderers. Because the police do not solve crimes. They don't. You might get a detective that collects evidence, but ultimately it's a stroke of luck. So there was that narrative that possibly it was racially motivated. This is from the Wikipedia page, and this is funny to me. On June 4th, 2012, Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper said he was pleased that the suspect was arrested and congratulated the police force on their work in apprehending him.
I mean, viewers can't see my face right now.
Right?
But I always thought I was the meme guy. You know, what is he, like a football player or something? Blonde hair. And he does the blinky face guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pardon?
Yeah. Like, really great work by the police all around.
All around.
Also, the Canadian press named Luca the Canadian Newsmaker of the Year. Oh, my God. Luca
He was like, stroke that ego.
He looked at himself in the mirror for 3 straight days after that. Yes. Of course, it caused controversy. Why would you do that, Canadian press?
Let's just name.
And the Canadian press is not like small tabloid shit. They are the Canadian news agency. They were established in 1917.
Are they like the BBC?
Yeah, they're like the main vehicle for most Canadian newspapers print for the time. So, this wasn't like the Sun tabloid in the UK or anything. The Canadian press was big shit. Or, they still are. And they named him... Newsmaker of
the year. That's why he did this shit. It's because it's the same shit with like Ted Bundy and all those serial killers back in the 70s.
Yes. Like, well, and the media, and again, I'm gonna tout the Richard Ramirez documentary because you guys really need to watch it. But they talk about how the media almost bungled the case. In fact, the media did they leaked evidence that only the police and the killer knew, and it caused Ramirez to ditch that evidence, particularly his shoes, which were
shoes, right?
They never did retrieve the shoes. He claims he threw them off the side of the Golden Gate Bridge, but the media knew about that for somehow had new found out about that piece of evidence, and threatened the police that they would go public with it unless they could get an exclusive interview with the lead detectives. To me, that just shows how little regard the media has mm-hmm. for the victims in these cases. Now, granted, that was 30 years ago-ish, but this case with Luca was, I mean, that was this past decade. The fact that the Canadian press would name him Newsmaker of the Year because they know it's going to generate controversy, it's going to cause people to buy newspapers and click our website.
It's capitalism.
Yeah, it is. And to me, that's very insulting to the victim of this particular case. So, bestgore.com owner was actually charged with corrupting public morals.
Oh,
that's great.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, not since like the 20s. It's like prohibition era.
I think that they just wanted to try and nail him with something.
Right.
But to me, you know what? That's sour grapes. People contacted the police and said, hey, there's a video of a dude getting murdered on this site. And the cops are like, yo, whatever, dude.
Yeah.
But it's probably fake, whatever. And now they're like, corrupting public morals. You're under arrest. Bro. No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Well, he had a plea deal. He was sentenced to a 6 months conditional sentence in which he served under house arrest, after which the website was shut down. He was sentenced to, Luca actually pled not guilty. He admitted to the murder and sending the body parts all around the world. However, he claimed that it was mental disorders, and that was the basis of his defense. Trial lasted 10 weeks.
Oh, wow.
I guess they had a lot to talk about, huh? Shit.
None of, and a surprise in the trial, none of the suspected murder/dismemberment tools could be definitively linked to the killing. That's from the Murderpedia page. His defense argued that Luca was in a psychotic state at the time of the crimes and could not be held responsible for his actions. The prosecutor argued that the murder was organized and premeditated, and Luca was purposeful, mindful, ultra-organized, and ultimately responsible for his actions. Luca did not testify during his trial. A jury of 8 women and 4 men returned a guilty verdict on all charges. Mandatory life sentence, but he will be eligible for parole after 25 years. He was also sentenced to 19 years for other charges. And those 19 years will be served concurrently with his life sentence. I think parole is always a weird thing to me.
Well, I guess in Canada, it's different. Like, prison is to rehabilitate you in other countries.
Right, it's not supposed to be as punitive.
Yeah, and so, like, the guy, you remember the guy, it was like 2003, I think, in Canada, where the guy cut off the head of the bus passenger next to him?
Mm.
So he is out now. Like, he was proven to not be, like, mentally competent at the time, and he is like,
we could get to a whole nother episode about
that's a whole nother thing,
but I just feel like it really does bring into the discussion about people that really do have mental health disorders. Mm-hmm. And honestly, Luca probably does have some mental health disorders. In fact, he was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia as a teenager, borderline personality, histrionic personality disorder.
And BPD.
Yeah, borderline personality disorder. He had been diagnosed with.
But I know plenty of people with BPD. They don't fucking kill anybody.
So that brings an interesting point. If you have someone, so there's a debate about whether or not people with mental health disorders commit crimes disproportionately to those who don't or are not diagnosed with those disorders.
Yeah.
If you have someone, though, however, that does commit violent crimes and does have a diagnosis of those mental disorders, should they be afforded?
Well, so this is why I bring the two cases up. They're both in Canada. They're both involving murder. This guy on the bus, and forgive me, guys, it's not like I studied up on it. I don't remember his name. He was very clearly not in his right mind. Again, in an episode, he thought the guy next to him, and what he said in court, he thought he was possessed by demons and killed him because he thought he was a demon. However, he was not on his medication. He has since proven for several years that he can stably take medication and be a productive member of society. So
it's the honor system. All right, stay on your meds. Yeah. And you'll be fine.
And then for Luca, here we have a guy who has been courting fame, loves serial killers, makes it his identity, and then, you know, advertises that he's going to kill somebody for several days up until he actually does. So you're going to tell me that these two people are the same people?
No. The context of those are different. However, where it all comes back to is, what is the likelihood that this could happen again?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, yes, you do.
So with people with mental disorders, I would think, I am not a medical professional, so take everything I say with a grain of salt. But I would think that the likelihood would be high again, higher than someone who was not diagnosed. If a guy says, hey, I cut off this guy's head because I thought he was possessed by demons, how do you know he's not going to think that again?
Well, okay, but then you still get into, not everybody's been diagnosed because not everybody is sought treatment.
That's true. No, that's true. Yeah. But specifically, we know these people have been diagnosed. We know Luca was diagnosed previously. You know, as a teenager, he had been diagnosed with possible paranoid schizophrenia. So when they say, okay, life, but possibility of parole of 25 years, why not just take that off the table?
I feel like...
Does anyone think that Luca, based on everything that we've said about him, everything we know about him, would... When he gets out, he's going to be like, all right.
I feel like the one thing that America has gotten right in that sense of the quote unquote justice system here is when you can prove premeditation and execution, it doesn't matter what fugue state you claim to be in. It's like, you know, there's got to be, you cannot plan out a murder for what is clear to be years to months. Mm-hmm. With Luca and say that you did that, you know,
spur of the moment, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's mm-hmm. not what are they, there's a term for it, and it's cold blood, basically. That is a cold-blooded murder. Like, you weren't angry at this guy, you didn't fucking know him, you just did it to do it, and you planned it out for a real long time. And I think that's like the one thing that we actually have correct is that, you know, you can't be around people anymore. Like, clearly, if this is what motivates you as a person, you don't need to be a part of greater society.
Yeah, I agree. I understand the legal system tries not to punish people for crimes that they have not committed. Because if you say, well, we think that you'll kill again when you get out, so that affects your sentencing, that's essentially what you're doing. But I just feel like when I hear about murderers getting paroled, And especially in Luca's case, if someone, you know, if some young, stupid teenager killed someone because he was going down the wrong path, and then, you know, you say, okay, after 25 years, we'll see what you look like in the system. Okay, I guess. But
in 2012, he was in his, mid to late 20s?
Yeah, he's 38 late now. 20, he's 38 now. I don't know.
He had his shit together in terms of how he wanted it together.
I'd be surprised, actually, though, if he ever got out on parole. He's a super known figure.
Yeah.
He's got the notoriety that he so sought. I'd be shocked if they let him out. But you know what would be crazy? If they did let him out and he becomes a celebrity. In fact, he would become a celebrity. Who wouldn't want Luca on their podcast or talk show after right. he got out of prison?
I'm gonna put that on the table. I don't
know. We might talk about that. Luca probably taking us right now. I'm be on the show. So I'm just saying he could. Letting him out would be a very weird thing. I'd be shocked if he got out on parole. But I do know that the Canadian justice system is a lot different than it is here in the United States. So we will see. Last thing, let's take it back to the beginning. Luca was never convicted of killing the cats.
Yeah.
Mm.
Those charges were not brought against him. Animal cruelty charges.
Seems like you would want to throw that in there just to like
just to make sure. Can we get him on that? But I, you know, there was the evidence was just too flimsy, I think, to bring to a jury. Like the whole, hey, that's totally his profile. Well, okay, you would need technical evidence. Hey, where was this uploaded from? Technical evidence that just wouldn't exist because it just wouldn't have at the time. And I think they felt like, hey, we got him on murder. That's the important thing, right? there was actually an unsolved murder in Los Angeles that the LAPD thought that Luca might have been involved with, known as the Hollywood Sign murder. They later dropped that, said they didn't believe that he was involved with the crime. Also, I think that he would have claimed responsibility for it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or at least filmed it.
He was also investigated for possible links to a series of serial homicides that happened over a 7-year period in Toronto. But due to lack of evidence, that lead was abandoned.
It does make me wonder. So, like, with Jeffrey Dahmer, you know, there's the glaring homophobia that led to him being able to kill for so long. It makes me wonder if that was a contributor here. I'd have to research more into those types.
Yeah. I think that, especially at that time, you know, this was almost a decade ago, 9 years ago, Sam, 2012.
Yeah.
The idea of the denizens of the internet solving crimes was ridiculous, I think, to most people. I get the idea that the police didn't like the fact that people who were not trained investigators were one-upping them on finding this guy. Almost all of the, I'm not going to say all the evidence, but all of the non-physical evidence was not collected by Toronto Police Department. It was collected by people on Reddit and Facebook. And I think that might have had a lot to do with why the police just didn't take these concerns about Lucas seriously. So maybe more so than the fact that he was in a bisexual lesbian relationship with Carla Homolka. Just how ridiculous is that? I don't know what's more ridiculous, that or the fact that the tabloids entertained it. Like, were they that hard up on news in 2007?
Yes, like, probably.
Do you remember 2007? Yes.
I just got out of the Air Force in 2007. It was a wild time.
We did not. In, I'll say 2008. When did we elect Obama?
End of 2008. Yeah.
The whole Obama era, we were kind of hurting for news.
That's true.
It was a very... compared to now, is very slow news period.
Yeah, and plus, yeah, like I said, Carla Homolka had just gotten out of prison herself. So, yeah, but I guess Luca's happy with his new boo in prison. I hope he rots there in prison.
I read somewhere what the new boo did to get in prison, but I can't remember.
Damn it.
What it said.
I was like, what?
His name is Anthony Jolin, so if anybody wants to look that up. Don't waste your time though. He did find him through a dating website called Canadian Inmates Connect.
Aww.
Talk about how capitalist do you have to be to create a dating social media network for Canadian
inmates need love too.
Right.
I guess. Oh boy.
Gosh, he's got a boo. I'm so single and I can't even. I mean, how does that happen?
You don't want.
I mean,
no, I don't want either of them. Inmates. However,
if you go on Inmates Connect,
yeah, it's like a murderer can get.
I would say that's less of a judgment of you and more of your standards.
I think to go back to this point, women will throw themselves at convicted murderers who have killed women, but I'm willing to bet none of those women would date someone that killed a cat.
That's probably true.
You know, if you say I openly, I
everyone's got so for instance, to go back to Richard Ramirez again, I'm gonna keep advertising that damn documentary until everyone sees
give
it.
Give us money, okay?
Because it's real. Yeah, Netflix, pay me. But it talks about that Richard Ramirez became like the celebrity during his trial, and he had a lot of women throwing themselves at him, which was odd because he was considered to be...
He killed old ladies.
Yeah. It was, you know, he was considered to be unattractive by most people that survivors, when they described him, they said he smelled bad.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I always heard that he stunk.
But now he's got all these women throwing himself at him. And he got married to one of them and she divorced him only after... It came out that he was a pedophile.
She drew the line.
So that's where you draw the line. Right. Like, you killed and raped almost 50 people.
But that's what I was telling you. Like, people with animals and children, they can't, like, it's different than...
What did the divorce decree say? Irreconcilable difference.
I had heard.
So, and that was the story I read, was that he actually admitted to her that he had raped children, and she was like, oh no, this relationship's over.
This is the line for me, right here.
I told, this was the last time, Richard. No more.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God. We're just going to end it there. Just going to end this. There, Luca, may he rot.
Go fuck yourself, Luca.
Yeah.
And you too, Richard.
Yeah. Richard Ramirez died of cancer in prison.
Good.
On death row, waiting to be killed.
Which, I hope it was cancer of the ass.
Which to me is such an anticlimactic way for such an evil person to die.
Yeah.
It was painful.
You're right. It was probably his death from cancer was probably more painful than the humane death the state of California was going give him, which had been dragged out from appeal.
He deserves long and slow and painful.
So, I hope Luca gets the same treatment. And maybe not ass cancer.
Cancer of the ass. Okay, all right.
Allie says ass cancer. Luca, I hope you're listening. I hope you hear that. And you know,
2021 is supposed to be a year of manifestation, so that's a manifestation.
Okay, if I look on the news and I see that Luca Magnotta died of ass cancer. we got to end this episode. So thanks everyone for listening. If you did not catch, our last episode was about the disappearance of Elisa Lam. And we did a bonus episode about the recent Netflix documentary, which I will not tout as much as the Richard Ramirez documentary. It wasn't quite as good, but go back and give those episodes a listen.
And if you ever hear the bum-bum in our commercial breaks, just know that this episode really paid off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it really did. Next week, we're going to talk about... we're going to back off from murderers and weird disappearances. We're going to talk about an interesting piece of internet lore that I think most of our older listeners will be able to gravitate towards. Our younger listeners are going to be like, really? You guys read about that kind of stuff back in the 90s? But I think you guys will like it. So hopefully you hear our lovely voices again next week. Take care.
Bye.